oh, why you wanna take my soul? I'm yelling out, ill, no. I can't even charge my press. Most of them might be fools.
Watch these hoes when they say they wanna lie to me. I don't know who's the one that wanna bite on me. I say low so my demons don't acknowledge me. When I go, I know death don't do apologies.
I just wanna feel myself. You want me to kill myself? Man, I've been on my own. Lord, I'ma need some help. I just wanna feel myself. You want me to kill myself? Man, I've been so damn long dealing with the things I feel.
Suicidal thoughts, call it girdle pain. Two leather seats like a bloody stain. I need hella bass, I need hella pain. You gon' wanna cry, I'ma make it rain. Suicidal thoughts, call it girdle pain. Two leather seats like a bloody stain.
I gotta grab the sword, preach. I gotta thank the Lord. I gotta go record. I wanna be fly to sword. Cause niggas be trying to floor me. People be thinking that I'm in the lottery. So paranoid, I don't know who be plotting on me. I don't know what tried to fight you. I'm feeling like right you, cause everything's shocking to me. Gotta be with other wicked. The time won't be ticking. Them niggas still cracking on me. Lord is my witness. I handle my business. You niggas ain't never but blocking on me. I just wanna feel myself. You want me to kill myself? Man, I've been on my own. Lord, I'ma need some help. I just wanna feel myself. You want me to kill myself? Man, I've been so damn long dealing with the things I feel.
Suicidal thoughts, call it gurgle pain. Two leather seats like a bloody stain. I need hella bass, I need hella pain. You gon' wanna cry, I'ma make it.
Good morning. You're tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be introducing you to some new beats and taking you down my path. We are broadcasted from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here from UBC's campus, deep, deep in the woods. As west as you can get, and as west as you can get, waking up with me is the best you can get. We do this every Thursday, 7 to 8. If you've never tuned in before, this is a show that'll introduce you to some news stories. Maybe it'll bring up some emotions. You'll feel a little bit educated. Sometimes we have some guests on here. Sometimes we have some interviews. Sometimes we just have some really smart people. Sometimes it's just me. Sometimes it's just me with sunglasses on. So that's one of those mornings. Like, we often talk about the summertime and how, like, the light and the sun really affect us. And in the morning, before 6 o'clock, before 7 o'clock, we really are blessed here as we get the longest days. And it's so sunny, you might have to wear sunglasses before 7 o'clock, and sometimes even in the dark studio, just so that you can like feel the vibe. If you are feeling the vibe at any point during the show, you can call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Just if you have something to get off your chest, We're here to help, and we're here to listen. We're here to have this. This is like a conversation between my friends. So if you're brushing your teeth or taking a shit, getting ready for work, taking a shower, maybe you're frying some eggs, maybe you're scrambling eggs, or maybe you're on the East Coast and you're at a job that you're like, you know, I need a break from this. It's Thursday. It's like not a midweek break, but a midday Friday Eve break. I'm here with you. I'm not like here for you. Listen, I'm here with you. This is a collaboration. And so within the collaboration, what I like to do is I like to start off with the weather because it's the summertime. We like to stunt here in Vancouver with the weather. I just got back from Montreal for the week. I was there for work myself. So if you missed last week's episode, you can go back and tune in. I apologize for being gone so long. Like when I am away from the show, it gives me anxiety. It's like, you know, I want to be here. But I'm here right now. So the weather for the next 10 days in Vancouver is going to be beautiful. Like I missed 2 weeks of beautiful weather here for work. And occasionally, like we know that as the summertime goes along, there's higher probability that our days are going to be affected by the wildfires that are happening in the interior. And I don't know if you've been listening, but there have been some evacuations already from the lower, the southeastern part of the lower mainland. And as those continue to blaze on, we will be affected by like the smog and the smoke. So hopefully these sunny days, you know, we can enjoy them as much as possible while understanding that some people, you know, are really having a tough time. But this weekend, today is going to be partially cloudy with a high of 21. Tomorrow, same thing. No percent chance of precipitation. However, this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday are going to be increasingly hot. Like Saturday is 23 and mostly sunny, but Sunday and Monday are going to be 28 and 29 sunny with lows of 17. And it's just going to be 28 and sunny all week until August. So if you want to go out and enjoy the Festival of Lights, you can do that. If you're going to go out and enjoy like any type of activity, I'm really looking forward to sailing next weekend up to Squamish because it's going to be 26 and sunny. Like, I feel like that's a, like, this is what I've been preparing for all summer. When I say all summer, this is what I've been preparing for all winter. Like, you know, summer bodies aren't made in summer. You got to make them in the winter. So, let's just jump right into it. We have a lot to get through today. There's been a lot going on and I miss a lot. So like when I miss an episode, like that doesn't mean, that you don't hear about it. That just means we're going to talk about it this week. So we don't really talk about sports in here, but we should. I feel like I was in Toronto last week and, you know, you can like feel the excitement of the Raptors and like the Raptors, I feel like have like underrated fan base. I feel it particularly because like I'm from the States and nobody really cares about the Toronto Raptors or Canadian fans in the States. But here in Canada, like the fan base spans countrywide, like east to west. Like they like represent an entire country. And DeMar DeRozan, for the last like 10 years, he not just like embodied, but like really embraced. Like, and I feel like that's like something that Toronto fans haven't been used to is, you know, having a superstar or a superstar-esque-ish, a high-quality caliber player. I don't want to get hyperbolic about DeMar DeRozan. But like just like a high-quality, an all-star, really embrace the city and like not only embrace the city but help them capture number one seed in the East. And even if they get beat by LeBron, like everybody gets beat by LeBron, but have this like next level of success that they haven't had in a while. And then to be shipped out for Kawhi Leonard, particularly somebody who's not even interested in being a Toronto Raptor, has got to be disheartening. So I feel for you, Toronto Raptors fans. I kind of want to see what Kawhi is like how he plays. I have a thing where I feel like he's not going to come. I feel like he's going to underwhelm and mostly disappoint himself, and it'll be like one of those cautionary tales for young superstars really trying to make demands about their careers. But we will see. And I kind of hope to see him in a Raptors uniform. When I say I hope to see him in a Raptors uniform, just not playing the Wizards. Like, NBA free agency. I don't know if the people listening are fans of sports. But I feel like sports for me is like a cigarette addiction for some, where you just know that I have been losing productivity my entire life by stepping outside, checking my Twitter, checking my Instagram, checking ESPN, reading ESPN, listening to like 8 ESPN talking heads talking about the same stories from the same 2 perspectives. But I just have to hear like everybody's side. And so even when I know that it's bad for me, I always come back. They can count on me. Moving on to like things that are relevant here in Vancouver, particularly, if you haven't heard of the Trans Mountain Pipeline, and the protests that have been going on almost for, it seems like 2 years, it seems like forever, but their Camp Cloud, which is the protest group in Burnaby on the Burnaby Mountain, that has been there for almost a year, has been given a 72-hour eviction notice by the city's bylaws, and they have turned to legal advice. So if you are listening and you're a lawyer and you can offer some advice or some help, I suggest that you, and you care about the pipeline and the protesters, you should reach out, because as the Burnaby mayor, Derek Corrigan, has, while he has condemned the pipeline, he is standing by this notice that they need to move, which I feel like is counteractive, because the only thing standing between the pipeline being pushed through and tankers going up the coast of the west coast of BC are these people who have committed themselves to protesting. So like, if you say that you care about the pipeline, but yet you want to remove the protesters, like, I am not going to believe you, Mayor Derek. So if you know, so it's like important that everybody, this is like an investment for everybody. I don't want to call them like transgressions, or I don't particularly see these instances as just having stakes for the people who are going to be evicted from their protest spot, but I see it more like holistically. Like, there's stakes for everybody, and they're protecting everybody's coastline and everybody's water. And when this oil spill comes, while it will have a acute effect on just a few who reside and live near the coast or near the oil spill, but like, I always talk about how we, as British Columbians or people who live in British Columbia, people who live in Vancouver, who've moved here, take so much pride in like the pristine nature and the seemingly untouched like wilderness that we have here, and to let a pipeline go through, and if a disaster happens, I think people will be, even the people who believe the pipeline is a good idea, will be more negatively affected than they anticipate. You know, in Vancouver, we like to talk about homelessness Now, I don't say we like to talk about, but the stories that dominate our news cycle, homelessness, housing, and drugs. And when we think about those, they're pretty much interconnected. Airbnb, these short-term rentals, are understandably like a large strain on the rental, the availability of rental housing here in Vancouver. I was surprised, like I'm always surprised, like whenever my family comes and visits me here, they get an Airbnb. One, because it's cheaper than a hotel, but two, because there's so many Airbnbs available, it seems all the time, that it just makes sense because they can stay closer or in a neighborhood that my mom wants to check out or something like that. But now, if you live in a building which is managed by Strata, where fines used to be $200 a week, and if you know how much people are making on Airbnbs, $200 a week is nothing. They are changing it in November 30th to a potential fine of $1,000 per day. That's a lot of money. I don't know how anyone's making $1,000 per day doing Airbnb, but this is something that I could see, you know, having a real drastic effect in curbing the market, particularly if we get some of those women and people in the States who like calling the police on people to come up here, you know, and maybe put their like awareness or put their affinity for calling the police on people who are just not doing everything just the way that they think that they should be doing it. That come up here and put it to good use. Start calling start standing outside of people's apartment buildings and making sure that people are not Airbnb-ing their apartment, because I think that there's some value. Like, I feel like people would pay, like, that's a service people would pay for. Like, I would pay an extra, you know, $5-6 a month, maybe like a subscription-based service, a salary, you might say, for someone to come up here and enforce these type of laws, because I feel that it will have a positive effect on our rentals here, and which would have a positive effect on my life. So instead of calling the police on little kids selling chocolate or lemonade or whatever, come up here and put your use. And if you are a owner of one of these Airbnbs, like, while I feel sorry for you, I don't actually feel that sorry, because people here were making a lot of money doing Airbnbs. And not only do Airbnbs limit the supply of rentals, which causes rent to go up for everyone else, it really just makes it like way harder to find places to live. Like last year for the Vancouver Marathon, there were over 9,000 visitors here to Vancouver, which provided $1.2 million. Sorry, I keep getting shocked by the microphone. It would cost $1.2 million to be like input into the Vancouver economy, which I feel like is nice. If those people who are renting those apartments lived in Vancouver, but if you have money to have like an Airbnb, the odds are is that you don't live here, and you're probably not spending that money. You're probably saving that money so that you could buy some more properties in Airbnb. When we get back, we're going to talk about some animal sightings here in British Columbia over the past week. Both have potential to be very, very dangerous. Also, really exciting to hear about on the radio. So stay tuned.
I'm from a mad place. Get your act together, get your act straight. Imagine Biggie never had faith. I felt like Diddy when the cash came. I'm doing numbers now. All these notes, man, I never had £100. I was 23 with £100 foul. I ain't playing with chips, put £100 down. Everything's changed, 4x4s, everything's range. I don't chase girls, only Henny gets chased. When they wanna wave at us, we get waved, and that's every day. Cause I remember being broke, I remember having joke girls take me for a joke. It was scary, and I pull up in the ghost. I'm just bossy, I don't boast. Let's make a toast.
Bossy, I don't boast, I'm just bossy. Let's make a toast and get poury. Drink it up for my story. My story, that surely. You remember days I was poorly. Everyone try ignore me. Now I'm living like bossy. So bossy, yeah, yeah. I've been dreaming of this. Even through the days they didn't believe in the kid. How could I take a break when I'm trying to make my fam move from the fiends and the bits? I can never stop, don't be silly, don't be silly. If there's any problem, then my bros are getting drilly. But we smiling now cause we great. Shut down Libertine, then go take. If you know you're proper, put your bottles in the sky, yeah. Lift it up high in the air, lift it up high in the air, yeah, yeah. I'm nice, sauce forever dripping, man, I know I never dry, yeah. Man, I'm so high in the air, man, I'm so high in the air, yeah, yeah. Bossy, I don't boast, I'm just bossy. Let's make a toast and get poury. Drink it up for my story, my story, that surely. You remember days I was poorly. Everyone try ignore me. Now I'm living like bossy, so bossy, yeah.
I remember having nothing, but I still had to share it with my brothers.
I switched it quick, my gear got to shifting. Now I only chill with the piftings.
Now I'm high off for life, I don't even smoke and I'm buzzing.
But I do, I'm high off the spliffing. I'm sorry, mom, if you're listening. Bossy, I don't boast, I'm just bossy. Let's make a toast and get poury. Drink it up for my story, that surely. You remember days I was poorly. Everyone try ignore me. Now I'm living like bossy, so bossy, yeah.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And like I said, next weekend, I'll be sailing to Squamish for the SOAR race. So if you are a sailor and you're going to SOAR, I'll see you there. But also, this past weekend, if you are not in a boat and you might take a kayak or something like that, you might be concerned to know that there's bears in Squamish. Now, you might not be surprised, but you were concerned to see that there's bears who, this 2 days ago, these kayakers were kayaking through the Squamish River, and they saw a bear, and so they captured it on Instagram. And so on their Instagram, they're showing it like, oh my gosh, this bear. Like, it's so nice. And then I don't know if you remember these. Was it that Jack's Lynx commercial where the bear and the guy just start fighting? But that's what it looked like, because as the bear took off and sprinted and started swimming towards this kayaker, the guy was probably within 10 feet of the kayaker before it turned around and went back to the elk that it was had killed and was protecting, I guess, from other predators. Like, I don't know what I would do if I was in a kayak and I saw a bear coming at me. One, because, like, I feel like kayaks are generally unstable to begin with. Like, it's unstable to begin with. So the idea of, like, a bear, like, rushing me scares the shit out of me, because I know 100% that I'm going to fall in the water. Also, the number one thing I would be most – I wouldn't even be scared of, because I talk about listen, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. But one, you're in a kayak, you can't even fight back properly. Like, this is not equal grounds for me and a bear. Like, I feel like you can't even get your footing. Like, the bear can swim. Not only is it swimming, it just seems better prepared for this fight. But the most thing I would be upset about is actually dying in a kayak. Like, could you imagine dying doing an activity that you didn't even think was that fun? Like, I I have this thing about like kayaking and paddleboarding where I just feel that they're not that fun. Like, and I don't know why. I think a lot of people would agree with me. Kayaking is just not that fun. Maybe if you're like one of those extreme kayakers where you're going over rapids and you're going over, you know, maybe like a waterfall or something. But I feel like kayaking from A to B, like at least when you're canoeing, you're like taking things with you. You can go slow. You can like drink lots of beer. But kayaking, you're just by yourself and you're just like in the water, just like. And then I feel like dying doing something. Like, it would be like dying stand-up paddleboarding. Like, I feel like stand-up paddleboarding is more like a workout on the water. Just trying to maintain your balance so you don't fall in and look like an idiot. I would just be upset I died kayaking. Like, I don't want that to be how I go. Like, if I was going to fight a bear, give me solid ground. Someplace where I feel, you know, I might not have a chance, but. At least I can die on my two feet like a man. So people need to be increasingly aware of the dangers of being in the outdoors here. So it's not just bears and animals that you have to worry about. A woman was killed in Campbell River hiking when a tree fell on her. And I know we talk about like Mother Nature and how Mother Nature is coming back with a vengeance. Like, I just read a story, I'm not going to share, but I read a story about like how this woman was bit by a spider and it ended up costing her leg. Like, this woman was hiking with her daughter and a tree fell on her and she died. And her daughter was a nurse. Like, her daughter was a nurse and wasn't able to assist her mother. And I couldn't imagine like being on a hike with my mom and my mom dying. And I couldn't imagine being on a hike with my mom getting hit by a tree. Yeah, it just seems like so many things going on in that story. It just seems incredible. But you just need to make sure that when you are hiking, even if the hike is tough, just remember to look up sometimes. A cougar was also killed on Vancouver Island in Nanaimo. As this cougar basically had enough with people and started inching closer and closer to people and really stopped being afraid of them and decided that today might be the day it was going to get someone. However, the RCMP shot and killed it, which, I mean, it's fair. Listen, like, I like when animals fight back, but cougar tries to kill me and I can kill a cougar, I'm going to kill a cougar. I'm not willing to sacrifice my life to the animal kingdom so that I feel like they can get some type of revenge on humans. Like, I am still on the human team. But I'm a sympathizer. Now, this story I find the most fishy, even though it has nothing to do with fish or animals. So in Richmond, there have been like a increasing amount of like fraudulent, particularly fraudulent like activities that have to do with Bitcoin. And so in the latest one yesterday, there was a Bitcoin ransom. So a man in Richmond was called basically from his fiance's phone or his partner's phone and was given the instructions that if his partner had been abducted and that if he didn't pay $10,000 and put $10,000 into a Bitcoin machine, I presume that she was going to be murdered or kept. And since it came from her phone, what he did is he went to the Bitcoin machine, he put in the $10,000, and then he called the police. And when the victim, and so now that it has been like understood that this was, you know, a fraud, that like there was no abduction and there was no like real ransom, but these people got a real $10,000 in Bitcoin. It's like, I say it's fishy because his partner wasn't harmed and she was actually never abducted. And she says she has no knowledge of this ransom or this, like, of the whole situation, which I find very, very questionable, because, like, how could someone convince me to provide some ransom money for someone who I am not 100% sure is actually missing? Like, I feel like I watch too much movies or TV, or listen to too many podcasts, or watch too many documentaries about these murder, ransom, convictions, things, that I feel like I wouldn't be so easily duped into being like, hey, just because you called from my friend's phone doesn't mean that I should give you $10,000. So through my preliminary investigating, the RCMP, they can call, because I feel like that this was a total setup from this person. And what a quick lick, because I guess if the individual has $10,000 to put in a Bitcoin machine, they're probably not going to be missing that $10,000. And if your partner had anything to do with it, when you get back, you're just like, oh, I don't really know what happened, but let's just move on with our lives. And someone somewhere is $10,000 richer. You should just understand that these scammers are not stopping, and they are coming for seemingly everybody with money. I feel, while I feel like two feelings about this. Like, I feel like I'm always a little understanding when rich people get scammed. Like, when I say understanding, like, I sympathize with the scammers. I'm like, go ahead, scam these rich people. Like, you know, that's just you just got to get it how you live, because rich people are scamming poor people all the time. It's when rich people scam poor people is when I have a real problem. But I don't really have any issue with anybody getting over on someone who can just afford to toss $10,000 away over, like, a alleged ransom. I feel like I would have to be pretty sure. Like, you, if you want $10,000 from me, you're gonna have to send like the pinky finger of somebody that I love, because I'm just not gonna believe you. And $10,000 is a lot of money, so I need proof. And that might be a lot. So, like, if you're listening to the show and you're like, you know, I know Issa loves me. Like, and you get ransomed, I'm going to be honest with you. You should call somebody else first. Like, I'll come and get you, try to come and get you, like, Liam Neeson style, but I'm not sending any money. That's just not the type of person I am. But I will put a team together, and we might be able to get you out. Before we move on to some local, I'm before some national news, some global news. There is a new column in the Vancouver Sun, and going to be a new column in the Daily Mail about, like, cannabis culture and marijuana. And so this column was written by Chad Finkelstein, and it was pretty much just as square as you thought a Chad Finkelstein would write an article. Like, Chad Finkelstein, like, if you're listening to the radio, Chad, I don't care. Could you just imagine, like, a more square name than Chad Finkelstein? Anyways, the article was just as square. So the article is really about restaurants' responsibilities to weed smokers after weed becomes legal in October 17th. And I thought that this was going to be like one of those Onion articles where you open it and it's just like one sentence. It's like restaurants' responsibility to weed smokers as weed becomes legalized. And then when you open the article, I thought it was just going to be like, stay open later than 10 p.m. Because that's it. Like, there's no responsibilities to weed smokers. Like, one, people who've been smoking weed have been coming into your restaurants all the time. Or people who have been smoking weed have been thinking about coming to your restaurant for a long time and then haven't got off the couch. And by the time they get off the couch, your restaurant is closed and they eat somewhere else, like McDonald's. So your only responsibility is try to get them food to their couch, deliver it, or find a way to stay up late, stay open late. Or maybe have like a smoking section in your restaurant. But this article went way deeper than that. It was all about how restaurants are going to have the responsibility to try to check on people to see if they're too high to come into the bar to get a drink. And how restaurants are, it says, like, this is a quote I picked out. It says, "I'm not opposed to cannabis legalization. My point is that I worry that restaurant businesses are already under a special microscope relating to the duty of care they owe to patrons consuming alcohol will be exposed to an added added burdens and liabilities." Now, I understand what he's saying. He's saying, well, listen, and if you don't know that this is a law, if a restaurant, like, overserves someone alcohol, and the person, like, let's say, gets hurt or gets in an accident or gets in a fight, and you know, something happens to them, the restaurant who has served them liquor is responsible, really, for cutting the person off. And so he's saying that he fears that people will be exposed to more, the restaurants will be exposed to more liabilities due to this, due to cannabis legalization. And while I understand him, Chad Finkelstein sounds like someone who's never smoked weed in his life. So I don't know how the hell he can know what marijuana, cannabis will do to you, or how you could even check for that. If you're listening and you are a restaurant owner and you are thinking, what is your duty to cannabis consumers, I say your duty is to make your food as delicious as possible. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about Russia post-World Cup. Stay tuned.
Pull up on the strip, yeah, yeah, she get it in. Saucing got the drip, drip, splashing on your bitch. Too legit to quit, get it quick and then we dip. Too legit to quit, get it quick and then we dip. Pull up on the strip, yeah, yeah, she get it in. Saucing got the drip, drip, splashing on your bitch. Too legit to quit, get it quick and then we dip. Too legit to quit, get it quick and then we dip. Pull up, we be lit, lit, they know what it is. Saucing got the drip, splash, water, VVS. Bitches acting sick when they never did a hit. Ain't worried about a bitch, I'm too busy getting rich. All we know is stack, stack, my niggas flipping packs. Turn a 2 to 4, double that, double that. Profit got us ballin', the money keep on calling. Saucing, 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 dripping like a faucet. Pull up on the strip, yeah, yeah, she get it in. Saucing got the drip, drip, splashing on your bitch. Too legit to quit, get it quick and then we dip. Too legit to quit, get it quick and then we dip. Pull up on the strip, yeah, yeah, she get it in. Saucing got the drip, drip, splashing on your bitch. Too legit to quit, get it quick and then we dip. Too legit to quit, get it quick and then we dip. I got gas, no quick trip. I just pull up, then I drip. Boss bitch with an attitude on some bougie shit. Gang behind me, watch your fucking mouth. Don't try no goofy shit. My neck give me chills. My bank account ill. My life is so real. The red bottom heel look like I slept the bitch out in the field. Still living broke, bitch. How does that feel? Too many zeros discussing my deal. You can tell I've been eating good meals. Sometimes I gotta check my account twice. Like, is this shit real? Brazy. Pull up on the strip, yeah, yeah, she get it in. Saucing got the drip, drip, splashing on your bitch. Too legit to quit, get it quick and then we dip. Too legit to quit, get it quick and then we dip. Pull up on the strip, yeah. yeah, she get it.
Back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-UBC-2487. I'll mix them up just to throw you off, just to make sure that you're paying attention. If you like this show, we do this every Thursday from 7 to 8. You can find it on facebook.com/OTBP20XX. You can find it on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath. You can just go on CITR.ca and you can just search for it yourself. If you like hip hop music, you like some of the music that we play, you can hear some DJ sets on Tuesday nights from Homeboy Jules and Relly Rels. You can hear me, Horsepower, Jamal Steeles chopping it up on Crimes and Treasons. You can find that on crimesandtreasons.com. You can find that on, there's over 15 years of shows, of mixes. You can find it on mixcloud.com/crimesandtreasons. We have the hottest hip-hop show this side of the border. When I say this side of the border, I'm talking about the equator. I don't know. I don't feel like borders exist. And the equator might not be a real line, but it's very real to me. And if you believe in the flat earth, you can call in and you can debate me about it. But explain that. Explain the equator, you flat earthers. I'd like to hear from you. So if you have been following anything in the world this past month, you would have known that the World Cup was in Russia and it just ended. It feels weird, like waking up in the morning and there's no sports games going on. Like I got really used to waking up and being able to watch like a high quality soccer game at 5 a.m. and then watch another one at 7 and then watch another one at 11. Like I feel robbed not having the World Cup anymore. But congratulations to France. I was in Montreal when France won, and it was pretty amazing to see how many French people live in Montreal. And when you meet them, that they don't speak any English, and which was great because I felt like I got to practice my French. Like it's like a dream of mine to be fluent in French. So I got to like live it a little bit and enjoy seeing my brethren win the World Cup. Because if you didn't look at the team, you might have mistaken the French team for maybe another country. Like the French national soccer team kind of looks like what the U.S. basketball national team looks like. It's not really representative of what the country looks like, but they're still going to take the dub anyways. However, that's not like the most important news to come out of Russia this past week. So, you know, here we don't like to continue to talk about Donald Trump all the time because I feel like he dominated the show like for so long. There's just something every week that you can talk about that goes on. But like this meddling in the election has been going on for, you know, I mean, since the election. So 2 years of, you know, wondering what level of, I guess, intrusion the Russians had on the United States elections. And what we're finding out is they had a pretty significant influence. And I don't think it was very hard because if you they were only giving information that people wanted to believe. Like, I don't know if they really changed people's minds about whether they were going to vote Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders. I mean, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. But I felt like they were giving information that people wanted to hear and just kind of like more solidified them. And by now, if you haven't changed your mind on Donald Trump, I don't think that it was Russia that really did it for you. But basically, Putin said that he didn't do it, and Donald Trump said, well, I mean, he said he didn't do it. So that's the story we're going to go to, even though we've had like 11 different offices say that there was significant Russian meddling, and it most likely came from the Kremlin. And some even have direct reports from text messages and other documents that say it came from the highest of the highest of the Russian like political center, which means Vladimir Putin. I feel like nothing happens with that dude without that dude. Like, he calls himself the President Putin, but I feel like the president has to be elected. And I feel like he's more like a dictator. But I guess one that they're cool with because they haven't overthrown him yet. However, Donald Trump like finally admitted that there was some meddling, and even though it's been proven that he knew about it. And he basically just said to Putin, like, hey, man, you can't do that. Which I feel like is like one of those like slap on the wrist, like, hey, don't do that. Wink, wink. But we will see. Because Donald Trump is still trying to deflect, like, as he's getting like more and more scrutiny, not just from the Democrats anymore, but really from his Republican Party. I feel like they sense a little bit of weakness, and they sense like some they can gain points from banging on Donald Trump. But the thing about Donald Trump is it seems like he always comes out on top. Like, he just tweeted yesterday. It seems like, you know, we're still following his tweets and still understanding. But he talked about how the only people who want to abolish ICE are Democrats and MS-13. And it's interesting because, like, as he juxtaposes Democrats and MS-13, I am 100% certain that Donald Trump's base doesn't know where MS-13 comes from. And I feel like they continue to try to push that this MS-13 is this Mexican thing. And like, they try to like associate MS-13 in Mexico and MS-13 and this border wall. And listen, MS-13 are bad. Like, those dudes are not to be effed with. Like, I know MS-13 is like, they have a very large contingency in around my neighborhood. So, like, we know, like, yo, these dudes are not to be played with. However, to put them in the same sentence as Democrats is crazy. I don't think there's anybody who would say, hey, we don't want to deport these extremely violent gang members. You know, these, I feel like there's no one saying, like, hey, we need to find out a way we can, like, establish some pathway to citizenship for them. I feel like we need to find a way to rehabilitate, like, even though I feel like that might be a better way. But no one's asking for that. So it's just one of these ways for Donald Trump to like have a real deflection. And it's working. Now, that's all I have to say about Donald Trump. Like, I personally don't see a difference between I feel like Russian meddling has very little effect on my life. When it comes to I feel like Donald Trump is going to win regardless, not just because of Russians, but because I took the temperature of the political climate in 2016, and when the results got back, I felt were disheartening, to say the least. Because there's so many people who I see and, you know, maybe had respect for, not only vote for Donald Trump, but then continue to support him. And so I just understand that, hey, this is just the way that this country is, regardless of how much you care about it or what passport you hold. Like, this is what it is, and you just need to understand that these people exist, and they're not going anywhere. And I also don't see much of a difference. Like, I see it being more of an issue, the amount of money that we allow to get into politics, than I think Russians, you know, supporting this like fake agendas that, you know, lean into these stereotypes that these people have. But when I think about like money that goes into politics, and as we've seen like a huge increase in the amount of billionaires in the past, since the recession, there's like 800% more billionaires. Now that doesn't make any sense. Now if we talk about like what people actually lost, especially when you know that like 70% of Americans lost like 50% of their net worth in 2008, 2009 recession, and people still haven't recovered. Wages still haven't recovered. Wages have been stagnant. Like we've had like steady job increases, but employment increases, but people are getting paid less money. People are making less money, but there's some way that thousands of billionaires have popped up. Like something about that doesn't make sense. And as we see, as we see regulation being rolled back, you know, from banks, so that we can see some of these same issues popping up now that were popping up pre-crisis. You know, like these lenders who are giving out money that people aren't going to be able to afford to pay back. These inflated housing prices that we've seen. It seems like we're falling right back into the same trap. However, there's people who have made a ton of money on this. Like, and that is the problem in the politics. It's not so much, I feel like, Russian meddling, but the idea that something is working for a very, very small amount of people. And when you see, like, who people would say, like, a benevolent billionaire, Jeff Bezos, just recently being touted. I mean, he's the world's richest man and has been for about a few years. But he has $150 billion currently estimated net worth. When 3 months, we talked about this 3 months ago, he had, he just crossed over $100 billion. And that was like the most money anyone has ever made, ever. And 3 months before that, he was at $70 billion. So in December, from December to July, this man has doubled his net worth. Yo, my net worth has four digits in it, and I can't seem to double my net worth in 6 months. It's difficult. When I say it's difficult, it feels damn near impossible, particularly with student loans and then just life. But this man has been able to make $80 billion in 7 months, and really no one sees any issue with it because he's like the most progressive of billionaires. Which is dangerous because the most progressive billionaire, the most benevolent, I'll say again, has tens of thousands of people on strike right now because they don't get paid living wages. Like people have been taken away from his company in ambulances. He's been forced people to work 10-hour days standing up where they don't get bathroom breaks. They get 15-minute lunch breaks. He's working the shit out of people and people are just fine with it because he's just not as bad as others, which I feel like is absolutely ridiculous. One of these days, there's going to be an uprising on these billionaires and I hope that we can see some change. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about, another school removed some of these racist statues. The statues aren't racist, but they're of racist. So does that make the statues racist? I don't know. We'll find out when we get back.
I never reply when you hear me. I'm off the grid, you can't get me. Secure the bag like Gucci. You see me racked up, can't miss me. I never go down with my hands up. Fuck the rounds, you pour another cup. I kiss the wall down one knee. See me racked up, can't miss me. Jet black. Back it up, jet black. Stack it up, jet black. Back it up, jet black. Stack it up.
buy a ticket and I smash. No shame, girl, if you're feeling yourself. If you wanna get up, I might give a little help.
If you wanna get up, I might give a little help. If you wanna get up, I might give a little help.
Jet black. Back, 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 back it up, jet black. Stack, 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 stack it up, jet black. Back, 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 back it up, jet black. Stack, 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 stack it up.
Can't keep me up, can't keep me up. Hey, girl, you can't keep me up. Can't take no more of that nasty stuff. Can't keep me up, can't keep me up. Hey, girl, you can't keep me up. Can't take no more of that nasty stuff.
Jet black. Back, 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 back it up, jet black. Stack, 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 stack it up, jet black. Back, 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 back it up, jet black. Stack, 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 stack it up.
Can't keep me up, can't keep me up, ayy. Girl, you can't keep me up. Can't take no more of that nasty stuff. Can't keep me up, can't keep me up, ayy. Girl, you can't keep me up. Can't take no more of that nasty stuff.
Jet black. Back, back.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. And we were talking a little bit about billionaires last segment. I like the statistic is that there's like nearly 9,000 billionaires in the world. Now that seems so crazy. Like I wonder what the uprising would look like. I feel like there's the dystopian future living in my head that I would love to talk about. But I feel like those billionaires would get me out of the way. In our last segment, we're going to quickly just talk about FSU's Florida State University has decided to remove a statue of their first president, Francis Epps, who happens to be the grandson of Thomas Jefferson, and he's the individual who started Florida State University. They're going to remove his statue from the grounds. And this is like a trend that has been going on pretty much in 2016, like over 100 monuments, like from like Missouri, from Baltimore to DC, have been removing, removing statues of, slaveholders. And, I don't know what they do with them. Maybe they like melt them and make coins. I don't know. Maybe they make pipes. I don't know what they do with them. What they do with the they probably put them in a museum and probably wait for all the black people to die so that they can just like bring them back. That's what my guess would be. Or they just sell them to some racist billionaires and so they can just like stack them and have like this museum of slaveholders. And it's interesting because I'm always just very like how far are we going to go back? Like I mean, we have George Washington on the dollar bill and Andrew Jackson on the 20 and Alexander Hamilton on the 10 and Lincoln on the 5. And I can see them keeping Lincoln like he freed the slaves, you know what I mean? So you can keep Lincoln, but everybody else seems like they got to go, right? Like, you know, I don't think Benjamin Franklin owned slaves, which is surprising. I'd be surprised if I heard Ben Franklin owned slaves, but I wouldn't be surprised because he's an old white dude who signed the Declaration of Independence. It's just interesting that they continue to take these monuments away, but it doesn't really do anything, you know, for the effect of slavery. Like, yeah, I don't think having a monument of a slaveholder, just like I have to walk by him, but like, it doesn't really do anything for me to remove him. Like, it doesn't make me feel any better. It doesn't like increase my position as a black person in America. So it's interesting that they continue to remove these, but unless they're paying, like, you know, some contracting company tens of thousands of dollars to do it, I don't really feel like it's an issue. Like, I feel like if they let the janitors do it, that's cool. But if they're paying, like, some contractor who's in Tallahassee, Florida, who's probably racist as well, tens of thousands of dollars to remove this racist statue, I feel like that's just perpetuating the cycle of racism by just giving more racist people money. Like, they gave a racist person money to build the statue, then they give them a racist person money to take it away. Something about that doesn't seem right. But for the last story, which I find is very interesting. Spain is going to be the first country in the world to pass an affirmative consent law, which is basically a law that goes beyond no means no. Like, no means no is like the bare minimum that we have of like rape laws here in like, I'm assuming like the world. And it's, even for me, like, it always felt like no means no wasn't enough. Like, no means no is so much grounds for these people to have these gray areas, you know, where they are like, well, she didn't say no, or like the no wasn't strong enough or something. But Spain is like, F that, yes means yes. So people have to give affirmative consent, which I think is just the way to go. It's just how, it's like how I was taught. It's just a better way to do it. Just like asking the person, like, hey, are you okay with this? Like, is this okay with you? And then getting a yes back, not waiting for a no. So good on you, Spain. And I hope that we can move forward to something like that everywhere, because what we saw yesterday at the ESPYs was 151 women standing on stage protesting their former doctor because he sexually assaulted them. And nobody in U.S. gymnastics or the U.S. Olympic program did anything about it. So, like, as we move towards these laws that are increasingly beneficial to not just women but to everybody, like, everybody needs to understand that this is something that needs to be understood, we will have a better world. But thank you for tuning in. We do this every Thursday, 7 to 8. See you next week for our last show of July. And follow me on Spotify so you can hear the heat. Peace.
Prophylaxis, then you might want to think about looking into PrEP measures. CATR and Discorder are not medical professionals. Please refer to your